ghosts, have they become a cliche? Or can we once again examine this phenomena seriously? After all, isn't it really our own afterlife we're curious about? Let's delve a little deeper on Jim Harold's Ghost Insight. Welcome to Ghost Insight. I am Jim Harold, and so glad to be with you once again. And today we are going to talk paranormal investigation, and we have most of the team from Euclid Paranormal on the line to talk about it, and very, very interesting indeed. Now, you might remember a while back we had Timothy Kaftanik and Daryl Clulow on the line to talk about UFOs, but they told me, Jim, we're also paranormal investigators in the ghostly sense, and it's kind of like me because I love the UFO stuff. I'm interested in the UFO stuff, but I also love the ghostly side of things as well. And certainly Tim and Daryl are in that group, along with their other fellow members of Euclid Paranormal, including Keith Levinson, a 20-year IT veteran, but who has a love of the supernatural. And also we've got Shannon Kaftanik with Tim, and also Andrea Hack with Daryl. So I think we have five members of the team on the line. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, good to have you all with us. I'm wondering if we can briefly kind of go around the horn and ask everybody what got them interested in the paranormal. And I guess we'll just start with Tim and Shannon.
Well, I started getting interested in the paranormal after my niece passed away, and my mother and my sister started having sightings. She was a one-year-old child when she passed away unexpectedly. And the family members started having sightings. And these were members of my family that never had any type of, they never talked about seeing ghosts or any belief in the paranormal. They were pretty skeptical. So that started getting me interested in doing some research. And after I got out of the military, that's when Shannon and I really started hitting the pavement pretty hard and doing this more actively.
Yeah, I actually, as a child, I always felt like I could sense something, or was always very interested in it. And so when me and Tim got together, it was like the perfect match, because he also felt the same way. So, and then this was born. So this was great.
And Keith, how did you get into this? Being an IT guy, usually IT guys are very analytical. What got you interested in the spiritual side of life?
Well, ever since a child, I've had kind of experiences with another world, so to speak. Had a couple of near-death experiences when I was a child. I've lived in a home that, you know, had some activity around it that certainly piqued my interest. And during that event, during that time, my son, we would take pictures of him near this house, and there would be kind of swirls and other artifacts within the photos that even, you know, not just from my camera, but other folks' camera would be around him. And it was just him in the photos. And something had attached himself to him, and he was speaking in tongues and speaking in different languages that he didn't know for a short time. And so that and some other incidents I've had throughout my life, seeing, you know, orbs and other things just really piqued my interest. And when Tim approached me and said that, you know, he's forming this team, you know, I was very eager to be a part of it.
And Daryl and Andrea, tell us about why you came to this group and why you're so interested in the paranormal and supernatural.
Well, I guess prior to meeting Tim and Shannon through the UFOs, I was always raised to have a very open mind and, not to close it. I guess it's early, man. I was into UFOs since I was young. My mom and I were into it, and, it kind of went into the same type of thing with the paranormal. You don't know what's out there. You keep an open mind. You know, hopefully you can experience something. I can't personally say I've had any experiences with the exception of the investigation we did with Tim and Shannon, which was crazy. And we look forward to talking about that. But just keeping an open mind, you know, I've always watched the shows, and you don't know what's real and what not isn't real until you do it. And I'm definitely a believer. Always have been.
Yeah. Same here. When I was younger, my dad actually had a Ouija board. And so we played with that a little bit. And that was kind of my introduction to the paranormal world. And it just kind of got lost along the way. And I hadn't really thought much about it until we met Tim and Shannon. And, it, you know, like Daryl said, you watch the shows and you get interested in it. And just being part of this team has really brought that full circle. And it's just really cool.
So when you guys investigate, what is the process? Okay, let's say that do you do private homes? Do you just focus on public places? How does your team work, and how do you intake cases? How does that work? Now, obviously, we're in a kind of a weird time with the pandemic and so forth, so I'm sure that has impacted it. But under normal circumstances, how does it all work?
Well, people will reach out to us, and sometimes through third parties, and say, you know, I know someone who's having some things going on in their home, and I mentioned your name. And once we get connected with the individual, we'll set up a time to actually sit down and go over what's happening at their residence or their place of business. We've done residences, several actually, over the course of the several years that Shannon and I have been doing this. And we've also done businesses, military installations, outdoor locations, historical spots, etc. But we sit down with the client, we ask them what's going on, we have them fill out some paperwork, so we have some documentation of the allegations, and we set up a time to do the investigation. Based on the size of the location, we'll determine the amount of team members we bring along. Once we have the team set, we'll go on the scheduled date. Usually we'll have dinner first. I'm a firm believer that getting together prior to and having a good meal, first of all, keeps your stomach nice and full so you're ready to investigate, and also provides a little bit of fellowship and fun before we actually go out. Shannon and I try to like to either order some takeout or make something homemade to feed the troops with before we go out. Once we're on site, we do a quick sweep, usually. Our sons do that. We have two adult sons that are on the team, and they go through the room and do EMF readings while we're setting up all the cameras. They'll jot down any anomalies, anything that might actually be a problem, such as cracks in windows, drafts, loud ceiling fans, anything of that nature that we think might actually be a concern or an issue as we investigate. And once we do that, then we start the investigation and try to keep the client as involved as possible. Through the website, we're actually now getting people reaching out to us and asking us if we can come investigate. So we are, you know, encouraged by people reaching out and asking us, well, what are you guys all about? What do you do? What kind of cases you do, to see if we're a good fit for them. And we make a good decision as to whether or not to take a case, because some people want to be told there's a ghost in their house. Our job is to effectively go in and measure, see what we have, and present the results. We won't always tell you that there's a ghost in your house. We won't always tell you have paranormal activity. We may walk out and say you have sediment in your water heater. That's why you're hearing knocks in the wall.
Right, right. That seems like a good way to be, give them the straight scoop. And sometimes I agree, people want to believe, and maybe that makes them a little anxious to kind of jump to the conclusion they have some kind of paranormal activity going on when it may not be. Now, in terms of the folks on the line today, can each of you explain kind of your roles during an investigation? Do you all do all the roles? Do you guys have certain roles that you have? If you can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I can go first. I'm Shannon. Well, my main role, I guess, is making sure that, as Tim said, all the troops are fed. And I've been given the nickname herder of cats. So I'm kind of the one that makes sure that, you know, before we leave the house, we have everything we need. When we get there, I will initially start setting up the kind of the base camp there. I'm usually the ones first monitoring the monitors and whatnot, and speaking with the client a little bit more, getting them comfortable as well if they're going to stay with us, and going over kind of what to expect that night.
And what she means by herder of cats.
Oh, yes.
When you have a lot of people, especially on larger investigations, you have a lot of investigators. It's just making sure that everyone's where they're supposed to be and not wandering off and getting themselves lost, especially in a larger mm-hmm. facility that can be a little dangerous. So she just kind of makes sure that it's everyone is where they need to be.
Keith, what do you do in the group? What's your role?
I take my direction from Tim, but he's gracious enough to let us kind of be in tune with the environment and kind of stake out areas that are of interest to us. And I'll walk around with the infrared thermometer or the EMF tools or even the spirit box and try and either rule out an area of interest or kind of come back to him and say, hey, I think this area is a hot spot. Let's take a look, and then we'll kind of retool and collect data from as many points as possible.
So Keith, as an IT guy, are you kind of a tech expert in the group?
Yeah, I definitely help out on that. Tim's very savvy as well. But yeah, I definitely lend that to getting set up and making sure that everything's running correctly.
Daryl and Andrea, talk to us about your respective roles.
I would say it'd be a lot like Keith. We've had the opportunity to do several trainings with Tim and Shannon. Due to our job schedules, we've only been able to do one investigation with them. So I can't say we have an abundance of investigations that give us a specific role. But I would say that particular night, we were given the opportunity to do everything.
Go in and listen and do experiments inside the different rooms and see what kind of activity was there.
We got there with everybody. We set up everything. Tim gave us direction, but also asked for input. I mean, I'm in the technical world of entertainment, so cameras and things like that. And we did everything from setup to going to different locations, to monitoring, to closing it all up, packing it up, and heading home.
Tim, something I'm interested in is this, and I'm sure you've, as the leader of the group of Euclid Paranormal Investigations, you've given it a great deal of thought. It's one thing when you go and you investigate in a public place, and you have a good time, and if you find something, great. If you don't find something, great. But as I understand, you guys go in private homes. And to me, that requires an extra layer of responsibility because you're dealing with people's lives. And if one is a believer in the paranormal, you could even maybe unleash something or make it worse. So I've got to believe that you've thought long and hard about this and how you guys want to approach it because you are dealing with private homes.
Well, when we're meeting at the house, one of the advantages of meeting at my home first and having dinner is to mentally prepare ourselves. And this goes back to the days when we did our first private home. This was almost 10 years ago. And we went into the home and we made a little bit of a mistake by simply saying a phrase that, let me back up a little bit. The house that we went into, that the gentleman said that he felt like there was a couple of different presences in the home. So when we went in, we did get the sense that we were being played with by a child. So I made the mistake of saying, well, I have at the time, the two boys that we have on the team right now were younger. And I said, well, we have kids at home too, and they have lots of toys. Well, this child followed me home. And for the time that we lived in our home in Arizona, we kept seeing this little shadow figure running around.
Oh man.
And it was harmless. It would just play with the canisters on the counter. One time it locked the dog in his cage. Other times it would just run around, but Shannon always jokes, if I go on an investigation without her, she'll say, don't bring anything home. So, but before we go out, first of all, we pray and we do ask for protection. We always say, be careful what you say. If you feel as if you're being, you know, targeted, make sure you get out quickly. We want to make sure that everyone is safe. And we always, if we're doing any type of interaction with the spirit, such as an EVP session or a spirit box session, which I can go into a little bit more detail about that later, the we always want to make sure that there's a there's an understanding that we are under protection and we are not going to allow anything to come back with us and link themselves to us. So we have to be very, very careful.
And for the homeowner as well, we always make sure we make that statement when we're in the home and have that conversation as well.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of a favorite investigation, can you guys talk to us maybe about one of your favorite investigations? Now, I know that Daryl and Andrea said they've been on one, so it, that would probably by definition be their favorite. But can you guys tell
our
us?
Favorite, Jim.
There you go. There, I'm, see, I'm pretty sharp, you know. I'm good with mathematics, you know. But the point being that those of you who've been around a little more and have been doing this a little longer, there has to be one or two that stand out. What would those be?
Well, with, and we talk about, and on our website, it talks about the a group of family investigators. It's not just our sons that do this, but I have another son and daughter that live in West Virginia. They're, you know, they have their own families now, but when they're out here, they investigate with us and have been investigating with us since the beginning. We were investigating the Birdcage Theater probably around 2008, 2009, and it was extremely crazy. I was down in the basement where they had the bordello rooms where the ladies did their work, and I actually felt what it felt like was fingers running across the back of my neck as if someone was flirting with me and walking behind me. In that investigation as well, we went on the stage and my son at the time, who was actually training to be a professional dancer, I said, hey, get on stage and start dancing and see what happens. So he went on stage and just started doing these dance moves, and a bucket just slammed in the back really, whoa, really loudly. Yeah. As if someone was responding to his activity. The EVPs that we caught in that location were just off the charts. We left a recorder there all night and came back in the morning and picked it up. And we heard footsteps going up the stairs, chatter, music, calliope music, and also tap dancing and what sounded like taps. And then when I had somebody listen to it and I said, what is that? And they said, well, I'm a trained tap dancer. That's a tap move. And that's what this move is. And it was just, it was a really amazing investigation. We had been in there several times, and that's kind of where we kind of defined ourselves as a team and really honed our skills doing that. So I would say that the Birdcage was probably one of my favorites, but Shannon's probably got a different one.
Yeah. Well, the Birdcage Theater, the strange thing is when you were downstairs and you felt like something touched you. I know when I went downstairs, I just felt super uncomfortable. I remember I couldn't even stay there for not even a couple minutes. But I think that something actually more recently with one of the businesses, we had very active conversation when we were using during our Spirit Box session. And one of the nice things is if we get a lot of response in one night, sometimes we have to go back for a second night. And in this particular location, we did. We went back for a second night to see, kind of hone in on those areas that we were getting lots of conversation going back and forth. And during the Spirit Box session, I noticed there was probably, what, five of us, I think, sitting there and weren't getting a whole lot of response. But I noticed that when I spoke, we seemed to get more response. So
interesting.
So I asked the question. I said, you know, we have several people here. Let me introduce everybody. And at the end, I asked, I said, who would you like to speak to? And pause. And I had chills because then I heard my name clear as day.
Yikes.
Yeah. So they do listen and they do respond.
You sure you don't want to talk to Tim? You sure?
Yeah, exactly.
Keith, what's one of your favorite investigations?
I think my favorite one was at a local Masonic lodge in Las Vegas. There were reports of, you know, several shadow figures in the facility. And we were in one area where there's a stage, and one of the persons who was responsible for building the stage passed away while building it. And so just some of the EVP sessions we've had in that area were pretty interesting. And Tim has a pretty unique methodology for conducting those. I'll refer to him to kind of explain a little bit more about it.
Go ahead, Tim.
Well, as far as conducting an EVP session, we try to get, and I think Keith had mentioned this earlier, about just kind of getting a feel for the room and getting a feel for what's going on. And if I feel that someone or something is not really communicating but wants to, we'll try to defer to using another individual, or moving locations or spreading out around the room. So we try to just change the way we do things a little bit and make some adjustments, kind of what Shannon was saying too about we're not getting anything, let me try. And so I'm always open to changing not only who talks and who asks, but how they ask and the demeanor in which they ask.
Now, speaking of technology, Tim, you had referenced spirit boxes before. Can you explain to people who maybe have heard the term, they don't know what they are, what are they, how do they work, and how do you use them?
The spirit box is, it's probably one of the more questionable devices used in paranormal research today, but it's a device that scans radio stations and radio waves. So it's basically static as it quickly goes through basically a scan. If you remember in the old days, I don't know if it's old days, how long ago this was, when you hit scan on your radio and it scans radio stations and then you find something you like and you hit stop. This hits pretty much every little notch. So you hear a lot of static, but you also hear a lot of radio chatter too. And how we use that is a little bit different than other people. Most people just keep it out and then somebody says, oh, did you hear that? And then people will chime in, oh yeah, I heard it. And well, that's always questionable because then you're imposing what you heard on another individual.
Right.
So what we decided to do is we put earbuds into the spirit box and we give them to one person. And then we put shooter headphones on top of those and a blindfold. So now they're sensory deprived of anything except the spirit box. They can't hear the questions that are asked. They can't see what we're doing. For all they know, all they're doing is sitting there and rattling off what they hear. And usually the session will take about 20 to 25 minutes, sometimes longer. But what ends up happening is the person, what we call under or the receiver, begins to understand the difference between the radio chatter that's coming through and something that's trying to push through, because they'll hear a voice that'll sustain itself over two or three different radio waves that have been clicked through. And they will just say what they hear. What happens is the questions start to match the answers. Hmm. And one of the most interesting things that we've had a couple of different ones, and Shannon alluded to the one where, who do you want to talk to? And the response was, hi, Shannon, right out of the chute. But Keith was actually acting as receiver. And I had gotten the sense, because we not only had questions and answers, but he said, I'm feeling hot. So we took an ambient temperature around him and an ambient temperature around me. And there was a 20 degree difference. And we were sitting at the same table.
Wow.
In the same room. So I just flat out asked if there was anything evil in this room. And there was a long pause. And then Keith's response was yes. But what was really interesting is going back and listening to the EVP, in between that, there was a response where you could hear a female voice say no. So it's almost as if there were multiple people responding in that room. and they did not want that individual communicating through Keith to answer. And it was really unusual because we did get a sense that there was something dark there that night, and we couldn't put our finger on why. And some of the other EVPs we caught, such as a very distinct growl, kind of confirmed that.
Interesting indeed. Interesting indeed. So in terms of ghosts, and I know that Daryl and Andrea are newer to this, but I'd be interested in their thoughts too. Do you guys individually have theories of what ghosts are based on your experience and just your life experience and research you've done?
I
tackle that.
What?
Oh, I was going to say, Daryl, tackle that one.
I would say I feel that there are residuals, kind of a personal situation. I lost my wife of 29 years. It'll be 5 years next month.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And it was a very, very sweet and yet powerful person, in a sense that anybody she met, she made a lasting impression on. And she was a leader, retail manager, leader with a number of companies, the last being Walt Disney World. And since she's passed, you know, I believe in guardian angels, and she has become one for myself and my son. My son's 33. I'll make this a brief story, but he was working at Disney World too, and he was living with several of his friends. They were starting to get girlfriends and wives. He was kind of on his own, and this was right after she passed, and he's like, I can't survive out here. And I said, well, you know, make the right move. And so he chose to move back here to Las Vegas to stay with me for just a little bit, so we could also kind of get through it together. And he spent a couple of years here, and he honed some of his skills for a job that became, he was able to get his dream job. And ever since, in the last 2 years, nothing has gone wrong for this kid. You know, I mean, he's gotten his dream job, his dream opportunities. And I said, Mom is just watching and guiding you, you know. And that's, you know, I've always kind of felt that way, but she was the, I would say probably other than relatives, she was probably the closest that I've ever lost. And just in the last 5 years, that has really enforced my feelings that, you know, you may die from, you know, the physical of this planet, but things do continue. And, you know, I want to believe that, because I don't want to just go to dust and never be known again, you know?
Sure. Sure. And I think that many of us have that feeling. You want to know that you live on in some way. And, yeah, very true indeed. Very true indeed. What do you think, Andrea, what are your thoughts?
I think that people, when they do pass, they have such strong ties to where they are, depending on what happened in life, how they pass. If it was traumatic, you know, what happened in their lives. And I think that's what kind of intrigues me the most, is what happened to these people, these people that we're trying to communicate with. What's their history? You know, what was their life like? And
were they bad people? And if they were, why are they so evil now? And Andrea just kind of mentioned to me a minute ago, do they even know that they're evil?
Yeah. Do bad people know that they're bad? Or are they just how they were?
Interesting. Interesting. What do you think, Keith?
I think that, ghosts, you know, which is kind of the colloquial term, you know, they're entities that are trapped between ethereal planes for some reason, that they have unfinished business, or they couldn't find their way to, you know, make their way to the spirit world. It's unfortunate that these souls are trapped in a way. And, you know, we, as investigators, you know, sometimes we hope that we can help them pass on to where they're supposed to be. One personal experience, after my father passed away, I returned home to my mother's home And we were in the foyer. I was right near the front door, and there's a mechanical doorbell, and the doorbell rang, you know, and it couldn't have been, you know, electronic, you know, interference or anything like that. I mean, you actually had to physically kind of crank this doorbell. And I was right near the door. I opened it up and there was nobody there. And I ran down the street. There's, you know, see if there was a kid playing a prank. And then over the next couple of days, you know, things around the home were moved. A family picture that was upright was placed downward. Almost like he was saying, you know, we're not together anymore. And here's my evidence that, you know, I'm passing on. So, that was kind of personal for me.
Yeah. Interesting indeed. Interesting indeed. And Tim and Shannon, tell us what your thoughts are.
There are so much, I mean, there are theories and so many theories regarding, you know, what ghosts actually are. And I do believe in the spirit, coming from a background where I was raised in church and eventually became a pastor for a short period of time. So, you know, you have an understanding of the eternalness of the human spirit, and just kind of getting an understanding of that, you know, we do not, once the physical dies, the spirit goes somewhere. And this has been an understanding for thousands upon thousands of years upon many different types of cultures and religions. And for this to, you know, this is not something new and trendy. This has been discussed for ages. And knowing that the possibility of other than human entities out there as well just kind of fuels the fire, so to speak, as far as what we're dealing with. Because when we go into a home or a business, it's not just, well, you know, departed Jim who passed away. We, you know, we...
Hey, do you know something I don't?
Exactly. I wish I did. I wish I did, but I don't.
I'm talking about me.
No. Oh, goodness gracious. Well, of all the names to pull out of my...
there you go. That's okay. That's okay. I just hope you're not like having a premonition or something. But go ahead. No. I'm just joking. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's... we never know what we're dealing with. And the entities that we deal with, of course, you know, they can be dangerous. And you have to guard yourself because you don't know what you're dealing with and you don't know the situation that you're going to. And the night that we went into the business location that Keith was referring to, as well as the one Shannon had referred to, that night, before even investigating, I had a certain amount of fear and apprehension about doing the investigation and was nervous about something and I couldn't put my finger on it. So I did spend a little extra time preparing myself spiritually before that investigation. And now I know why, because there was something that was dark in that building. And many people don't understand that it's not just the people that pass away in the room or in the building or associated with that location. There are spirits that pass through. And for some reason that night, there were a lot of spirits coming in and out. And some of them were malevolent. Some of them were benevolent. And you've just got to guard yourself because you really don't know what you're dealing with. And I don't think we ever will understand until we pass on. And then when we pass on, there's no way for us to actually come back and say, yes, we were right. Our theory was correct. And here's my thesis on that. We can't do that, unfortunately. But I do believe that when someone passes on, the spirit continues. How and why that happens, I don't know. And what other spirits are out there other than human, I don't know.
Interesting, mm-hmm. Interesting. And Shannon, do you have a thought on this?
Yeah, I mean, I think that me and Tim kind of, we have that same thought pattern. And for me though, the big thing is, yeah, they have some sort of unresolved something they want to say, and they weren't able to say it before they leave. And And like Daryl said, you know, guardian angels. I mean, I believe in all of that. I think that many are here as protectors to, I still feel like my grandmother is watching over me. Me and my grandmother were very close. And so I feel that some of these, you know, ghosts, as they call them, are there as protectors.
Interesting indeed. So do you guys have a recommendation? Let's say that I think, and I don't at this point for the record, but let's say that I think that I have a ghost or some kind of entity in my house. What would you recommend?
Well, the first thing I would do is just ask you to tell me what is happening. I will ask if anything significant has happened in your life over the past several months. And then kind of just go through the process of interviewing. Some of the things, you know, we don't want to call ourselves debunkers, but some of the things and things that people talk about are, and they allege, you know, we can probably find a rational explanation for.
Right.
But I would just sit down with you and ask you first what you're going through. And we do want to find out, is there anything that significant happened recently, whether it be a death in the family, whether it be a traumatic experience or something that happened to yourself physically. And we want to kind of understand it and find, all right, when did this start? What other things were going on, to try to take an objective approach. And then if we feel that we're a good fit, we'll go into the house and take measurements and see what happens.
And then by the same token, let's flip the coin. Let's say that I've watched the paranormal TV shows and I'm really intrigued by this. Now I want to go become a ghost hunter, a ghost investigator. What would your recommendations? I open this up to anybody who has a thought on it, including Tim, of course. What would you suggest?
I think it's always good to, to reach out. We actually had somebody that just recently found us online, reached out to us, and wanted to talk about that, about becoming an investigator and what that entails. And I think it's all about, too, if that's something that somebody is interested in, is you have to find a group that is in the same mindset as you. There's so many different groups out there that believe differently, that use different methods and things like that. And it's just so important to find somebody that your thoughts are aligned. You believe the same, you believe in the same way of investigating.
I would agree with that. I think because Tim and I had the UFO connection first, and we got to know each other, and then our families, Shannon and Andrea, and we all got together as friends and got to know each other. And then, months down the road after we first met is when Tim kind of approached us and said, "Hey, we do this too. Is this something you have any interest in?" And we're like, "Well, yeah, let's check this out." And we look forward to doing many, many more. And, you know, even though we've just done the one, I mean, we've got favorite parts to that one. I think Shannon hit it. You know, I mean, if we didn't all get along as friends, it may not. And it doesn't mean, you know, you get with a group and you're drinking buddies or something like that. But, you've got to have that same mindset. You've got to just get along, because you're in either somebody's residence or a building for hours into the wee hours of the morning alone. And if you're not getting along, it's going to be a long night.
Yep. Yeah, indeed. Indeed. Well, it's been enjoyable to talk to our friends at Euclid Paranormal Investigations. Tim, where can people go to find out more? I'm looking at your website now, and find out what you're up to. Reach out if they need help. Reach out if they're interested in being involved. What would they do?
Well, the website is the best spot, euclidparanormal.com. And also we have a Twitter page, which I try to maintain and be active on. And we want to get a Facebook presence. We're working on that. And one of the boys, my sons were saying, you should get an Instagram page. And I'm starting to turn old, and I'm like, well, I don't understand how Instagram is going to help.
They're right. It would be a smart idea.
And I said, my VCR is blinking at 12. I don't know anything about this Instagram thing. But yes, the euclidparanormal.com, and you can also euclidparanormal at Yahoo. And if you want to email us, but the contact information is on the website. There is a couple of forms you can fill out if you're interested in having an investigation. They're just a submission form. If you just want to ask questions, we usually get back to people within 5 days. But all the details are right there. It tells a little bit about where we came from and why we exist. And we started as a family, and we branched out to friends as well, as Keith and Daryl and Andrea can tell you. And the importance of it is creating a family atmosphere of investigators, because family's close. And when we go out, that unity is actually what helps make it fun. And also, protects us. So we like to keep that family bond as something that drives us. But yeah, they can contact us at euclidparanormal.com and reach out to us there. I pretty much have everything on our website, from a couple of samples and clips of evidence to contact information.
Tim, Shannon, Keith, Daryl, and Andrea, thank you all for joining us today to talk about Euclid Paranormal and ghosts.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having us, Jim.
And thank you for tuning in to Ghost Insight. We appreciate it. And hopefully you don't have a ghost, unless it's a friendly ghost. But certainly very interesting, and always glad to talk to investigators. We'll talk to you next time. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.